Now, we welcome on an esteemed member of the station, a gentleman about town, Daryl Ryder, joins us, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I'm on the Struggle Bus, buddy. Welcome to the show.
You're all out of fresh ideas, huh?
I think I might have run into that. Yeah, I just have to throw out the number and then reset and I'll be fine.
Just used all the good material in the first couple hours, did you?
It was four.
Does anybody else find...
It's a lot of time.
Anybody else find this game a little tough to talk about because it's so exciting, but you know it might only be one game. And there's still a hefty, hefty mountain to climb if you want to get back to relevance. So, like, I want to enjoy it, but I also know that, like, it could be fool's gold eventually.
Well, don't tell Juan Thornhill that. He doesn't want to hear any of that nonsense. They got a lot of AFC games to play right now. They feel like they got a shot to maybe get themselves relevant here. It's going to take about a month and a half to do that and them not losing any games between now and then. But, you know, and also it would take them doing something this franchise has never done in the expansion era, and that's win more than four games in a row. So... but hey, you know what? I'm intrigued. All of a sudden, I'm intrigued after watching yesterday's win over the Ravens. They have my attention again.
Daryl, does this prove it was a Deshaun Watson problem the entire time?
Yes. Yes.
Easy there.
Could not be quicker to answer. I like that, Daryl.
I heard that about you.
The writing's on.
Well, this is quick to answer. Come on.
I was going to give a good answer. Come
family
on.
Family show.
Come on.
If you look at Kevin Stefanski's coaching resume here, he wins with every quarterback but Deshaun Watson. I mean, it's plain as day. And, you know, five of the last seven Browns games started by players not named Deshaun Watson. Those quarterbacks, Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, have thrown for 300 yards in five of those games, and I am including in that list the throwaway, we already made the playoffs, nothing to play for game last year to wrap up the regular season against the Cincinnati Bengals. So in the last six games in which the Cleveland Browns were actually trying to win without Deshaun Watson on the field, the starting quarterbacks threw for 300 yards in five of those. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say the problem is Deshaun Watson can't play anymore. The offensive line magically looked like it knew what it was doing yesterday. Yes, we got the full Jameis Winston experience where everyone was huffing and puffing into paper bags at the end of the game, but the bottom line is he stepped in, he stepped up. We're not sitting here making excuses about rust because it was his first start since September of 2022 and all these other things that we have been twisting and turning in for Deshaun Watson. He went out and performed, and the Browns beat one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team, in the NFL in the Baltimore Ravens. So, yeah, I'd say the problem's Deshaun Watson.
If Stonehands Kyle Hamilton actually catches the game-clinching INT instead of, whoops, how different do you look about that game if the Browns actually lose that game on a Jameis pick?
Not very much, and here's why. Because for me, it was more about how the team looked than the final score. Because I went in not expecting the Browns to win that football game. I was asking for the bare minimum, and that was that the thing would be watchable, okay? That the offense would look competent, and that's exactly what happened yesterday. Bonus, they won the game. But the offense looked organized. The pre-snap penalties were minimized. The offensive line looked like they were knowing how to block all of a sudden again. And I think a big reason why is because you saw Jameis Winston not bailing from the pocket the moment he got the football in his hands. He was, stepping through, whether it was front, back, left, right, the pressure that he was getting, and he was throwing the football vertically down the field. Cedric Tillman, a guy that, this organization had been pumping up all offseason, right? Nine targets, seven catches, 99 yards, and they went to him at one of the most critical points in the game, and he got the game-winning touchdown. So, the wide receiving core all of a sudden looked like they were competent, right? Because that was part of the conversation. Well, maybe the supporting cast around Deshaun's not all that good. Well, again, I think that yesterday showed us the problem was always the quarterback, and you know, this offense actually runs when he's not on the field.
Daryl, how long does the bar stay watchability and entertaining offensively? Is that a 1 week thing? Is that a 3 week thing? Like, when until the bar like changes again?
For me, it's through the rest of the season, because I think the season's shot now. Even though they're 2-6, I mean, the reality is they have to go, I think, 8-1 the rest of the way, at least from my standpoint, for them to have a legit chance to make the playoffs. So they can lose one more game, and you look at that schedule, and there's multiple losses still on that schedule. Maybe, to Juan Thornhill's point, okay, let's say they lose two games the rest of the way. That leaves them at 9-8. And if they win all the AFC tiebreakers, I don't know, maybe they backdoor their way into the number 7th playoff seed in the AFC. But I just don't even feel like that's a legitimate conversation unless they rip off 4 or 5 games in a row and get themselves back to 500. And then we can start having that conversation again. But for me, until it gets to that point, Nick, I just, you know, for fans, the fans' sake, I hope that the games are entertaining and, you know, at least fun to watch, even if they don't ultimately end up winning them.
Are the Browns still trading everyone on a final year deal?
I think Andrew Berry is still going to answer the phone, no question about it. And, you know, I don't want to put a whole lot of pressure on this upcoming game next week against the LA Chargers, but, you know, there's a bit of a difference between being 3-6 and 2-7. So I still feel like if Andrew Berry can get value for guys, like the one guy I would not trade is Jameis Winston. I'd like to see what's there. And again, this week will probably, play a lot into that. But I'm anticipating I'm going to get a similar performance, except for, I don't know, maybe some Charger defenders will actually catch footballs thrown to them by Jameis. But that's neither here nor there. Just because of the landscape at that position right now, you know, maybe you want to have an extended look and Jameis can be a bridge quarterback until you figure this thing out. I'm just kind of spitballing here out loud. But, you know, guys like Za'Darius, you know, Rodney McLeod, Elijah Moore, that are on those final years of their contracts, and if there's some value there, I think Andrew Berry does have a responsibility considering where they are in the standings. You know, if he can extract some value there and get what he wants for him, yeah, I can definitely see them still making moves before the trade deadline to add some additional draft assets in the future.
Daryl, did DeJuan Jones Wally Pip Jed Wills yesterday?
Probably should, right? I mean, I look, I've been critical of DeJuan. I felt that both him and Jed Wills, neither one of them came back from their knee injuries in shape. I kind of put that on the strength and conditioning and the coaching staffs. That would have never happened if Bill Callahan was here, that's for sure. But I thought he played really well yesterday. So I, based on how that line performed together, I would absolutely stick with that offensive line until circumstances dictate you make a change. Because in 6 straight weeks, I believe it's 7 different combinations that they've used up front. Those 5 guys yesterday played really, really well. I'd like to see them get an opportunity to maybe see if they can work together here as a unit multiple weeks and, you know, maybe things settle down offensively in the trenches.
Daryl, it was a confusing game for the defense in many respects. No Denzel now, no JOK. We got to talk about that. But also, Lamar almost threw for 300 yards. Derrick Henry almost averaged 7 yards a carry. Like, in many respects, the defense...
Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry.
I mean, in many respects, the defense looked really good. And on other sides of it, I really do wonder if maybe it just kind of showed what happens if there is no JOK and no Denzel Ward, and maybe we do have something to worry about moving forward.
They won the game. They gave up less than 25 points. They cooled off the hottest team, winning 5 games in a row after an 0-2 start. Lamar Jackson was setting the world afire. Derrick Henry was just destroying fools. And, you know, they kept Derek. He was, I think the number was 150 yards a game he was putting up.
125 a game.
125 a game. Yeah, kept him under 75 yards. I think that's a pretty good job by the defense.
I have no idea why they didn't run the ball more with Henry. He was averaging 6.5 yards a pop, and they just didn't do it.
Thank you cards are in the mail, but
I know. Harbaugh made some weird decisions.
Yeah, but again, as I say, in this league, the great teams are going to put points on the board. They're going to make big plays. Defenses are the rule book is written against defense. Like, that is a fact. So the bottom line is, because I was really worried that Lamar was going to throw a touchdown in the closing seconds there to beat the Browns, but it didn't happen. They escaped by the skin of their teeth, and they won the football game. And so from my standpoint, the defense was just good enough, right? And it needed to be, because this time you couldn't blame the offense, right? So many games before, we're sitting there blaming the offense, and this time it was on the defense to do their part, because the offense did theirs, and like I said, they escaped, literally.
Daryl, Denzel Ward concussion number 6. I'm just curious where we're at with Denzel, and whether every time something like this happens, whether there's going to be an evaluation period for him, or whether it's kind of like Tua, that the expectation is just to keep playing until he says otherwise.
Well, and that's why I asked Kevin Stefanski the question I asked him today, Nick, about at what point does the volume of concussions become a concern? And Stefanski kind of sidestepped, and he just said, he's getting great medical care. I leave it in their hands. We've talked to Denzel going into the season, and he has made it very clear that he is going to keep playing the game as long as he can play it. He said he has told us repeatedly how he's not concerned about the concussions, because he's confident in the information he's receiving from the medical staff. Both not just with the team, but independent neurologists and doctors that he has been working with. He changed the helmet this year that he wears, hoping that would help with this. So me personally, am I worried for him? Yeah, sure, because I see the older NFL players, and I see what condition they are in. Now, granted, they're no longer rolling carpet on top of concrete floors to play football games on these days like they used to do, but we now know scientifically how damaging concussions can be. And so he's at 6 now, and that's obviously it's in his hands to make those decisions. And I fully expect the next time we talk to Denzel, what I just got done telling you will be the message coming from him, and I expect that he'll return whenever he clears the protocol.
Browns ramped up Nick Chubb's usage in this game relative to the first game. He got 16 total carries in this one. I mean, he didn't average anything spectacular, 3.3 yards per carry. How did you
ripped off a 15-yarder, though. Let's give him some love for that. That was the first time we got to see a little burst from him. So I think incrementally, week one to week two, like what we see, and let's see how it goes going forward. And if it stays on this trajectory, I think he's going to have a breakout game, Jonathan.
Are we getting to that 20-yard or 20-carry mark, or is that something that they're going to treat him like in the past, where he never really got many carries more than that?
He got 16 yesterday, so I think that that will be the sweet spot, anywhere from 15 to 20 carries, depending on the flow of the game and what the scoreboard's saying, and obviously what success they may or may not be having on the ground. But let's be honest about it, that's what it's really kind of always been with him, and that's how Stefanski has done it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's just kind of getting him back into that sweet spot where he has been in previous years. I don't expect his workload to go beyond where it's been in previous years, not by any stretch, because that's just not how Kevin Stefanski has spread the football around.
Daryl, I need 2 grades, one for Miles Garrett's Terminator costume for Halloween, and the other for the renderings of the Never Gonna Happen Burke Airport Dome.
A+, Schwarzenegger approved. I'm sure you saw the post on X where he.
I love it.
He gave the. Do that again, please. Was that Kermit the Frog or was that Spaghetti?
I love it.
That was a little better.
It was almost
Cookie Monster,
though.
Kermit slash Cookie Monster equals the Terminator. I love it. And then as far as the renderings go, and I guess Destination Cleveland's a part of that now, it seems like right now everyone's ganging up on the Haslams. And the other complication, too, is the situation at Gateway that Signal Cleveland reported on today. There's a $40 million shortfall right now. Syntax revenues not able to cover the repairs needed at the ballpark and the arena, and now the Browns want some county help. Like there's going to be some difficult conversations happening here when it comes to the maintenance, upkeep, and construction of these facilities, because the costs to do so keep skyrocketing. But I'm going to give those renderings that are never going to happen at Burke Lakefront Airport, I'm going to give them a C, because the thing that I paid attention to was the ingress and the egress. And all I see is just one traffic nightmare after another. So it's a pretty picture. It's a pretty drawing. But I think from a realistic, actually going to never happen standpoint, yeah, it's never going to happen.
I'm actually going to have some renderings drawn up of useful politicians.
Let me guess. It's going to be a blank white sheet piece of paper.
We'll see. I don't want to get too far ahead of it. Again, I'm not the rendering guy. Just pay the rendering guy, and then he does the rendering.
Oh, okay.
And I come out and say, this is what it should look like.
Oh, I was going to say, because I think I'm looking at one of those renderings right now. And in fact, I can confirm it is a blank sheet of white paper.
Daryl, appreciate you, buddy.
Have a great week, guys. Talk to you.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Great show with Daryl. React to what he had to say, including Miles Garrett's Terminator. Next on 92.3 The Fan. I don't know if it's true or not, but in the CBS broadcast, they're like, he actually talked with Hollywood technicians to get this right. Thought it was creepy looking.
Oh, well, I didn't see that take coming.
Yeah, why not? It was weird looking.
I thought you were going to talk about how awesome it was, and I thought you were going to do the thing that a lot of people did, which is like, that's so cool. If I had that type of money, I would spend it on that type of thing, too, because I couldn't have hated it anymore, but that's just because I'm not... I just don't. I mean, it's not for me.
I think the mistake was the mask.
Well, like, what do you mean?
Well, I just, it looks like he's out of a bad Wayans Brothers movie.
Thought he looked like Sammy Sosa in many respects.
Okay, that's kind of another tributary there. Like, I just think it looked weird. Like, one, you can do the T2 thing if you just get something to put on the side of your head. Like, I don't know why Miles would cover his face. Miles is a good-looking dude. Why would you cover your face with some weird plastic thing? Like, we haven't made masks to the point where I can't tell that that's a fake mask and it looks kind of weird on you.
Like,
okay. It's almost too realistic while still looking fake.
Isn't that the point, though, right? Like, I mean, it's
yeah,
not...
but I don't think it looked good. Am I just splitting hairs here for people?
Listen, it's such an old reference. I had to go back and, like, even Google what he was trying to do with the Terminator, because I'm not a Terminator guy. I was waiting for more of you to be surprised
that, like,
by
that. Was like,
are you a Terminator guy?
I mean, in the fact that I've seen every one of the movies, and I like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Is that all this comes down to? Like, if you like Terminator, you probably like the costume, and if you didn't, then you probably didn't like the costume, because it's just, why are you doing this old movie reference for Miles Garrett?
Well, that's kind of spot on. Miles is a bit of a antiquities dealer. Like, he loves Elton John, he loves things that were before his...
Yeah, he did
it's
a Stranger...
one of my favorite things about Miles, if
he did,
we're being
he
fair.
Did the Stranger Things costume a couple years ago. Was that the Bengals game when they beat the Bengals on Halloween night? I think that was the Stranger Things costume that he did that
he
night.
He was Vecna, right? For all those cool kids out there.
Yeah, I never did Stranger Things.
Yeah, you have no. When I said Vecna, the light went out in your eyes a little bit. You're just like,
I thought you had an aneurysm for a second. No, what happened there.
Well, be a lot like that last read that I just did. Mac, you were trying to chime in there, bud.
No, when I first saw it, I obviously you thought of Terminator because of the one side, but it didn't look like Arnold to me. It almost looked like a ginger version of Sting the wrestler.
Okay, so yes.
It wasn't even Arnold.
I've been trying to dance around this. He looks like a cast member of the Wayans movie White Girls. That's what it looked like to me. And it was just so...
Problematic movie in hindsight.
Not great. It isn't... By the way...
That one did not age well.
Also not a good movie. Like, the Wayans are so talented and so awesome, and that was so not funny in any way.
I never heard anyone be like, that's my favorite comedy of all time, White Girls.
And it got worse with Little Man, where, I can't remember which Wayans brother it is, but he cosplays as a baby. That's a no for me, dog. That is a no. Like, that's too Rob Schneider. All right, you guys are too talented to go full Rob Schneider. You never go full Rob Schneider. He's not funny. He's just riding the coattails.
Pretty problematic person, if we're being honest about it. But that's
it's not
there.
Great. But no, that's
it
where
didn't
I
age
land.
Well. It didn't age well.
That's where. But I agree with your take on the defense, where I think, like, we're one or two. If I'm going to do this with Jameis, it's only fair. If I'm going to do the thing of, okay, well, Cal Hamilton dropped this interception, they dropped this interception. If I'm going to do that for the offense, I know that there are reasons why it happened. I don't think the defense played as well as the numbers say that they did.
I hated Darryl's answer. That's what I'll say.
Again? I forgot.
It's Lamar Jackson and it's Derrick Henry, and so that's enough of a reason to explain almost 300 yards passing and averaging 6.5 yards per carry. It was 6.6 if we're getting really technical with it. Like, Derrick Henry could have ran all day. Like, I'm sorry. Well, I shouldn't be sorry. I'm happy that Harbaugh went bird brain on a lot of his decisions, including the direct snap to Mark Andrews on the fourth down play. Like, I'm happy that they continue to shoot themselves in the foot, Baltimore did. Why did he stop running the ball with Derrick Henry, though?
Because that's what coaches do now. The second you get behind at any point in the game, you just bail on running game. And I agree with you. It made no freaking sense. And it put Lamar, man, I don't. Zay Flowers is a really good ball player.
And he had a good game.
When he catches the ball.
He had a good game.
Mark Andrews is not Mark Andrews anymore.
No, he's a shell of himself.
Likely he's a nice player. But, like, look at everybody. Even Bateman, like, he had the big catch there. And then he had the big drop in the middle of the field because the sun got in his eye or something. Man, can you imagine if you had given Lamar, like, Waddle and Hill? He'd throw for 500 yards a game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's getting the ball there consistently and down the field. And, like, so I actually understand the temptation now, which you wouldn't have done that 3 years ago with Lamar. You wouldn't have. You just would have kept running the ball, and you probably would have won the game anyways.
Well, but they've done that even, was it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago? They did the same exact thing that they could have just done here?
Yeah, it feels like the Ravens are trying to dispel the narratives about their passing game and their quarterback when the narrative they should be dispelling is, can you win a Super Bowl? Right?
You're not going to be able to answer that until you get to the actual postseason, if you're them. Because they did this last year, too. Remember last year, they beat up on, it was the Lions. They just absolutely demolished. They had a blowout game where they crushed the 49ers. Like, every really good team they took on, I think they finished with 8 games where they won against teams that were 500 or better. They're doing the same thing this year, too. The 5-game winning streak was littered with really good football teams. It doesn't matter until you get to the postseason.
Like, on one hand, I want to say, we only gave them 24 points, and Denzel was out, and JOK was out, and, you know, Miles was a factor in the way that when Miles is on the field, there's a gravity that takes him. But, I mean, everybody else really ate yesterday, and Miles was pretty quiet. He was still making an impact on the game because, again, you can't ignore him.
Ross Tucker, when he wasn't shouting you out, by the way, was very adamant to highlight the idea that Miles was pretty much a non-factor all day.
So, like, I want to just say, hey, who cares? It's one game. It's this, but with Denzel, not knowing when you can get him back. With JOK, I mean, everybody says he's okay. It's, you know, you just never know when it comes to neck or spinal issues. Okay can mean a lot of different things. Meaning, is he ready to play football this weekend? That I do think, like, you're getting to a point where you're hurt on defense now probably is going to start to impact your ceiling, especially if Miles has more timid games.
I'm thinking more from, like, the Denzel Ward perspective. Like, what are you going to do if you have to rely on Greg Newsome and MJ Emerson, who just continue to be liabilities week in, week out?
I'd still trade Greg. I'd still trade Jameis. Nothing has changed for me. If somebody's going to give you a second or third round pick for Greg,
I don't think that's happening.
Arizona,
anymore.
I don't know about that. Arizona's pretty needy, and Greg would immediately walk in.
Arizona's
as their best.
Got a really bad defense right now.
They do, and a lot of it is their cornerback room is just bubkiss.
A really bad defense.
Greg could walk in there and actually be a really good football player in that scheme. But like
Packers were always the team that was kind of whispered around with Greg Newsom.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't there a weird rumor? I think I can't tell if it was the fan in Milwaukee that started it.
We had one. It was last year we had one, and then we also had one like a week ago. But last year we did the same thing. It was a Packers report with Newsom. I believe it was at the deadline too.
But like this kind of goes back to the cynicism. I don't want to say cynicism. What I think is the reality of how to react to one game. It was so much fun. I'm not telling you to not enjoy it, but there's enough to be concerned with the defense. There's enough to be concerned with Jameis's style and how that when this goes wonky, it goes wonky. It's the whole team for me.
Yeah.
And I want it for them because, quite frankly, they deserve to be more than a 2-6 team. And a lot of those guys, I do feel some level of empathy, some more than others, about having to be saddled with Deshaun and every bit of fallout that came with that. In the same way, I feel empathy for fans for doing that. But that, like, the defense is the other half of the thing we haven't talked about.
And you lost two of your best players.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think that's a real, like, I think that's another thing that says, okay, let's do it again. We do it again, getting by with this defense and the offense is maybe carrying their weight. The more that happens, the more I can get confident.
Well,
with it.
So if Herbert throws for 300 yards, are we just going to have Daryl saying, well, it was Justin Herbert, so he throws for 300 yards?
No. This is the downside of today's, what I would say is an overreaction to the win, which is...
Well, the problem is that we can't talk about anything from the actual football game because everyone just says, oh, it's a win and that's all that matters. I can make a legitimate argument that I didn't know that Stefanski should have... I mean, it worked out for him, kicking the field goal. But kicking the field goal late in the game instead of going for it on that fourth down play, like I don't know that that was the right football move. I don't know that was the right call in that scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You're going on individual stuff like that is... I do think that if I'm to believe people that think Stefanski has lost his confidence, he's lost his fastball, Deshaun has sapped him of his essential energy, I would imagine that just getting that win for people who feel like Stefanski is back, I feel like that should be enough.
But that's the, I think that's part of this whole equation, though, is that like today has been a day of, well, they got the win, and so every time we try to go down any sort of path, it's like it just like the whole entire game almost gets erased unless it's a positive, which I'm fine with because, as you know, I'm like Captain Positive today.
I was going to say, I believe you jammed me up with positivity all day, making me look like a hater.
I'm like a Care Bear right now, okay? Yeah. Like all I am is just positive about this Browns team. Jonathan Homer is what they call me in between the breaks. I don't know if you got the memo.
That's not a thing.
Not a thing.
That is not a thing.
Good old Homer Peterlin back at it again.
No, I don't think that
just
works
out
either.
Just out there spitting out these Homer takes.
Homer Peterlin played for the Cincinnati Redlegs in 1891. He's not co-hosting with me right now. 216-474-0092. We'll ask you just straight up. Any concern with where the defense is given, okay, they only give up 24 points. A lot of yards to Lamar. A lot of yards to Derrick Henry, and obviously the two big injuries. One segment to go, and the thing that we are all too rich in this country to be doing, still doing, in fact, that's next on 92.3 The Fan.